Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Lilligans. This is Mitch. With me is Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
Hi.
We have a guest on the couch. Brad teased it online. Mr. Brandon Barklage.
What's up, guys?
He's back. And before anybody asks, he is walking normally, so he's healthy.
There's no cast. There's no crutches.
No boot. No I'm out of the boot. I'm good to go.
There you go. So
Brad was looking at him all jealously as he walked down the stairs, roughly.
Hey, I had a surgeon's report. Maybe I should give an injury update on myself.
Yeah, you know what? Let's start off with that, Brad. How is the surgeon's report?
The surgeon said he expects me to get most of the function in that nerve back, so I should be able to march to the match next year.
That is awesome.
Still got 4 years NCAA eligibility. Yep. It's still on.
And I'm still going to steal a golf cart because that's much cooler to ride up in a golf cart.
But at this rate, I may need it.
Okay.
So I'm at the neurosurgeon on Friday. So.
And if Jeremy doesn't bring it, we just commandeer it.
Well, goddamn right. That's what we do.
All right.
That's PK's job. So. Bring us our golf cart.
So, yeah. Importantly, I should be okay. Brandon's looking all right, too. So
thumbs up over here. Comfortable couch.
Thumbs up doesn't relate well on an audio podcast. Just fair warning. You actually have to say thumbs up. So, yes, he's healthy. He's ready.
He's been doing some workouts, right?
I have. Yeah, I've been, man, it's been, what, 5-6 months since my last time on the playing field. So that has been extremely frustrating. I've got to say that this past year is probably the most, I've been through a lot of injuries before, but this past year was probably the most frustrating just because I'm back home, I'm playing in front of you guys, you know, I want to, you know, it kind of makes me shake right now, I get a little bit emotional, just because I want to put a good product on the field, you know, for the Lilligans, but also for my family and my friends, and, you know, so that was my main goal, and year one didn't work out for me, so now I'm moving on. Here we go.
It's all we can do, we can put it in the past, and we did a lot of things right last year, and we're going to fix it all this year.
Yep.
I mean, it's still new for us, though, having a second year. You know, we're let's
no
not
kidding.
Kid ourselves.
Yep. I know.
I'm thinking about ordering a ring. We could put 2 gemstones on it.
There you go.
The club will have a little star over the badge.
Yeah. Right. 2 championships? No, we've just been here 2 years.
Instead of stars, do we get like a candle, like on a birthday cake? That's what it is. We'll take
maybe
it.
Like tree rings, you know, yeah. One for every.
Hell yeah,
one for every year.
I'm good.
Wait,
with this.
Wait. I think that's what Seattle 2 does for their crest. If a guy comes back, he just gets another outline of the crest. He still doesn't get the crest.
Once he's been there for 6 or 7 years, it gets colored in completely. It's the opposite of the motivation in Major League, where they took off a piece of the owner's outfit.
All right, but I want to say and
big. Wait a minute, big news! Big news out today. I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter and Facebook. The USL schedule came out.
Wait, no, seriously?
That's the big news.
I missed
today.
It. Wait, we got to stop this so I can go read up on it.
Okay,
I had no idea.
Well, I was about to say the USL, and I love the USL, but man, they annoyed me last week with that whole with the league from Cincinnati, and then we're going to announce it. Oh, there'll be an announcement at 1 o'clock and at 4 o'clock, so we're all on tenterhooks at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just some dumbass contest. I'm like, you suck.
Yeah. And I mean, the big thing about that was anybody who's following USL on Twitter and is refreshing their page to see what the announcement was, chances are they've already got tickets.
Yeah.
I don't need to win tickets to the game. I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not some guy on the fence about whether or not he's going to win tickets.
I'm going to tweet my mom real quick. Oh, quick, get on there.
Well, it's not even like the Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals home opener is going to be sold out.
Right.
So it's like, oh, you're going to get something to sold out. No, people can still buy tickets for 99% of the teams.
I tell you what, I bet no one bought won tickets to the Real Monarchs home opener because they've got no fans. And I bet they never guessed it was going to be us.
Oh, let the feud begin.
Wow. Yeah, we're heading
we're
west.
We're going to stir it up right now. Yeah.
No, but to be fair, I mean, it is an MLS 2 team. They don't have fans.
That's true.
But they do have an MLS stadium, though.
They do.
They do get to play at Rio Tinto. That is a big perk. That's a very nice stadium.
It is.
Well, and you know the ins and outs because you've been there.
I've played there before, yeah. Salt Lake. They got like a good organization going on right now.
It's not like Harrison. You're not going to have to warn the guys where the stumps are.
I've played there, too. That's night and day. That is a ridiculous field there.
But that's got to be good for you guys to go play on a really nice field.
You know, I don't think we got a chance to do it last year besides away in Kansas City for the Open Cup.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a good experience for the young kids.
Even the MLS teams we played at you played at their practice facilities, the training ground. Not the main field.
Or a turf field in the back, you know, located somewhere else. But, you know, it's going to be a good experience for the young kids coming in and also the new guys that we have coming in, some good signings. So if we
signings plural there.
No secrets given tonight.
That's okay. I mean, we know a lot of secrets already.
But I mean, after we play Real, we go to LA Galaxy 2, the StubHub, and they're same thing again.
Same thing. StubHub Center. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, then you're going to be brought right back down to earth because then you go to Orange County.
That I don't know about. I don't know what kind of setup they have.
Do you remember Charlotte and the tents?
No.
It's
similar.
You'll be changing in tents.
I don't think you made that road trip. I think that was on your recovery time.
Yeah, I didn't make that one.
Yeah.
I mean, but
literally, it's banquet tents.
Really,
but also that's
a joke.
Kind of the charm of the league.
I think so too.
The highs and the lows with traveling and the stadiums you go to, and
even when you go to Sacramento, they have you get changed in little mobile home type, little pop up, you know, tents almost. Yeah,
which you think of Sacramento as, you know, they're the next big team.
Exactly.
I mean, they're selling out. They're doing great.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, all's not perfect. I mean, everywhere there's little things you have to know and learn.
I mean, those are three good teams right off the bat. I mean, OC Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Tent jokes aside, they nailed it last year.
Yeah, they had a great season.
They surprised me. Because I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know one of the players that's on that roster. And I think from what I've heard, the Galaxy had their eyes on a few of their players.
Going to poach a few of them.
Yeah.
Who's that kid, Denzel Slager, who could cane a ball in from 30 yards away? He's gone to L.A. They poached him straight away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's got to be hard for OC Blues being in the Galaxy's back pocket. You know, it's still making
in that market, Galaxy's identified. And, you know, if they wanted him, they're in their youth system or something.
Mm-hmm. Until LA 2 comes in place, yep.
And Lord knows how that's going to change what OC Blues get, because, I mean, now you're third.
Maybe they'll do something cool and make OC Blues their affiliate team.
That would be awesome if they did.
Mm-hmm.
Just everybody builds around the Galaxy, circle them in.
Well, we were talking about it before you got here, and I don't want to make it too much about MLS, but you spent a good deal of time there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be awesome if LA 2 branded themselves as the anti-Galaxy.
That'd be sweet.
We're going to be the bad guys. You wear white, we'll wear black. And
They got the black and red. Yeah. They're coming in, a little bit intimidating look to them.
Kind of the Raiders mentality.
That's how they can establish an identity in the market.
I agree with you.
So I think that would be cool.
I'd like to see them bring in some hard players, like Vinnie Jones type
guys. Yeah. I don't want to say dirty, but
we'll
chippy.
Say hard.
Chippy.
Hard
chippy.
Is always that good
term. Nigel DeYoung, he's going to the wrong LA team.
Yeah, there you go.
Just, you know, get a little shoulder into the soft guys in white a little bit. I'd like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Take it. Then Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
It's our first drivable away trip.
And I do think we are going to make a trip to Oklahoma City to
defend our Oklahoma State Championship.
That's right. Undefeated in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep it going.
But that's close enough. I think we'll all be itching to see some soccer. We'll make that trip.
It's a good stadium. They're
don't park at Walgreens.
Don't park at Walgreens.
See, you didn't get this because you were playing, but during the broadcast of that game, it would flash up this car with this license plate.
White Honda Civic at Walgreens, you need to move your car.
That was one of you guys?
No, Oklahoma.
But my phone is going crazy. People text me going, you're not part of Walgreens, are you? I'm like, no. And the thing is, if you're at the game and you have parked at Walgreens, you're not going to be watching it on the stream.
No.
Very true.
But that was a fun time last year. I enjoyed that. I mean, how do you know?
I could see on the stream you were wasted. You had no idea.
Because we scored with two goals in the first 20 minutes.
That changes everything pretty quickly.
I tell you what, there's nothing better than walking out of a stadium after you've driven 8 hours to get there, and you're walking out with 3 points. It's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. Well, and you guys know, a road trip home after a win is definitely better than a road trip home after a loss.
I have the one memory that I do, the fondest memory that I have of playing for this team last year was going to Tulsa, playing them in the preseason, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. It was my first game with the club. I played the second half, 45 minutes. And I swear, I have not played on a team in my entire career that was so on the same page the entire second half especially. I mean, it was so fluid to the point where I thought, man, there's no way that there's a team that's going to be as good as we are this year. The way that we showed that night, I was so excited for the rest of the season. It was crazy. So, I think
follow up question: what happened after that?
And then, yeah.
I was going to say, and I think Bird ended up with your jersey that night, if I remember correctly.
If he could see straight, yeah. It was.
I even signed it.
Yeah, Bird signed it.
I even signed it.
It was worth a certain amount on eBay. Then Bird signed it, and it went down in value. Yeah.
I think the funniest thing about that, though, is so he brings it back, and we're going to auction it off. And we're excited about that. So I have it. I had my old desk at the time. I had it hanging up there, and I'm working from home that day. Like, what the fuck is that smell?
Oh, no.
There's something that smells terrible in my basement. I'm, like, looking for water leaks. I'm looking at the trash. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh.
Game-worn jersey.
That's a game-worn jersey. With hairy armpits inside for 90
from
minutes.
From Oklahoma, no less. Because that state smells. There's something about
it's
that state.
It's the state. It wasn't you, Brandon. Okay. It's Oklahoma.
And then you add in a game in it. Oh. I was like, yeah, you know what? We're going to put this out in the garage to air it out a little bit.
I'm sorry about that.
But that game,
can you
though,
wear more deodorant next time, please?
Absolutely. Or just wash the jersey.
Then it's not signed anymore.
Oh, that's true.
But the thing is with that game, that was the first game that we won against a team of the same caliber as us in the same league. And it was a lot of weight off Dale and Jeremy's shoulders that they knew at that point they had a team that could compete in the league.
Absolutely. And we had just faced them, I think, the week before. And they beat us at home.
Oh, that was such that's a smash and grab raid, though. I mean, we had 80% possession, and they had two breakaways and scored.
That was the selling point in my decision to come back. I watched that game online on YouTube, and I was very impressed. So that's what got me back here.
There it is. Inside information.
Mm-hmm.
So now what gets you back this year? Other than, the legality of a second year of contract.
Well, that has a little bit to do with it.
He tried to leave.
No, I did not. I promise you that. No, I feel like, man, I'm coming up on my, seventh or eighth year as a pro. And I feel like I haven't achieved what I want to achieve quite yet.
I just want everybody to know that was Brandon burping and not me for once on air.
Don't blame
Mitch.
It on me.
It was Mitch.
It was me.
That's her Luligan podcast drinking game.
Wait till I belch into the mic. This time it was you. But anyways, 8 years. Sorry.
I'm excited to, hopefully change my role up a little bit and score some goals and get some assists. And, those are the fond memories that I have growing up playing as a midfielder. And most of the time when I was in the league, I was playing in separate positions that I wasn't so comfortable at. And here I get the chance to kind of show what I can do, on the offensive side of things. So
it kind of seems to be a trend I keep hearing of guys being played out of position frequently. Is that as common as it sounds?
I think, this English lad over here will probably, concur with me here that if you have a winger or a wide mid or whatever, a flank player who's been playing there his entire life, if they have good feet, if they can distribute the ball well, a fullback is a good position for a wing player who may not have the potential to be a star impact offensive player on the flank. You just move them back if they can defend a little bit, get up and down.
Daily blend at United can't.
There you go.
But no, a lot of these guys in the MLS, you see, I mean, a center back, he was the best player all through growing up. You know what I mean? And he may have been the star striker in grade school, in high school.
Sure.
And then once you get into college and you start assembling a group of quality players, they move back a little bit or find their natural position. But, I mean, I think we're so early in development in this country. Now, not to say there aren't, I mean, Gallagher is an example of a group that's putting players together. But a lot of times these guys are the best players all through high school, and then they find their natural position later.
Yeah.
So
I can agree with that.
I mean, we saw it with Brian Gall. I mean, he played a striker in college and then went to the Galaxy and they tried to make him into a left back.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So I think
I think all of last year it was a struggle figuring out where he was most comfortable combined with where we needed him.
Yeah.
Because of the team and injuries and things that happen.
I agree. I think he's a very silky player. I think he's technically gifted. And
I don't think we saw the best.
We did not, no. And the team did during training sessions. We saw what he could do. But, I guess it just never really came to fruition, if you
It's probably that Barklage guy taking a spot. That's what I think.
Oh, I don't know about that. No,
but Brandon, you mentioned that you want to be on the offensive side a little bit more, you know, score some goals, make some assists and that. So when you were playing holding mid, that wasn't really your forte? You looked very composed back there. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, I love defensive mid. I thought that was a good little switch up for me. But, you know, we had trouble last year, I think, putting the ball in the back of the net and mm-hmm. creating, you know, we'd create two or three decent chances per game, but, you know, we would never cross that line with the ball. So I think we're taking a different stance this year and just being a little bit more potent with our attack. And, you know, I think I have a lot of experience. You know, I played wing midfield growing up and throughout my formative stages, you know, as a player developing. So I feel like it's just going to come natural, more natural mm-hmm. to me than D mid would or a fullback position would for me. So I'm just looking forward to it.
Okay. And we had a guy like Chad Bond who's got some experience either attacking or defensive midfield. You know, that's another piece that we were missing last year, or an extra piece, I should say, that we can throw in there.
He's a huge pickup for us, and he's not only good technically, defensively, and offensively, but he's also he can talk. You know, yeah. he's a Welsh.
He was Tulsa's captain. I mean, I love it that we took a captain.
I'm their MVP.
Yeah,
you know, they were crying when.
I'm very excited to see Chad in the mix.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's what we keep saying is that now the two of you working together, people are excited for that possibility. It's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, we can have both going on at the same time. That's huge.
Yeah, we can tamper with it a little bit, and then we have Bushu also. I thought he was fantastic last year. He was just a bulldog. He was a force in the middle for us, and he's a great kid. I'm a big fan of Bushu.
Yeah, so we just had him on the podcast here actually like a month ago, and I can't say enough about him. I think there was him and Parker, who were just solid players.
Parker's phenomenal too. Yep.
But Jacob, he was like a little terrier nipping at guys' heels. Like there was you and when Brian Gall was playing defensive mid at the back end of the season, you guys could spray the passes along, and it was Jacob doing the dirty work. You know, and I got a lot of time for Jacob. I mean, And I say it a lot all the time. I also think Parker was my player of the year, but
I can agree with
you. My next question was going to be, what was it like playing next to Jacob? And you kind of answered my next question.
You just know that he's going to get the work done. That's mm-hmm. that's the bottom line right there. You can't replace a guy like that who can cover that much ground, and he's got that kind of attitude where, you know, no one's going to get through this line. And that's Jacob.
He alluded to the fact, when we had him on the show, that he went a year without playing. He left Indiana and he didn't get picked up. And so this is his chance. You know, and he's determined to make the most of it.
Yep.
So
he's fit too. I trained with him today. He's a fit guy right now.
Do the young guys kind of piss you off because they're so healthy and so, you know?
Last year they did. They did.
To be fair, a lot of people were more healthy than you last year with the time on the IR.
Yeah. Well, and we make it sound like Brandon's old. I mean,
yeah.
He's not old.
No.
I feel like I'm in my prime right now. That's the thing. It was so disappointing last year. So.
Well, it's just set up for this year.
Yes.
That's the way to look at it.
Absolutely.
It was training wheels year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we're looking at it, at least. We're trying not to think about those things.
I'm with you.
Now, I am going to ask this question, though. I mean, we did surmise it with regards, not just yourself, but Jameel Hardware spent a lot of time on the physio couch. So did James Musa. We seem to have a lot of injuries, or when we get someone back, another guy would go out. You know, Dixon spent some time out. Was it the turf? I mean, you trained on that turf a lot. We played on that turf a lot. I know it's an easy thing to blame, but
no,
was there anything into that?
There's really no – you can't use the turf as an excuse. You know, it's turf. It's a different it's a different surface that I'm not used to playing on turf, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I think what happened with me was I came in and I continued the regimen that I had for the last 5 years, and I think that was a little bit too much. So, if you know me as a professional, I'm in the weight room probably a little bit too much, and I work my butt off, and I take pride in that. And I think maybe last year I should have maybe calmed down a little bit and listened listen to others around me saying maybe you needed to cool out a little, you know.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I've stopped going to the weight room so much.
But let's talk about that for a second. Do you think maybe it was because you were putting pressure on yourself, because you were coming home, because you are probably the marquee player of this team? I mean, just because you've got a history and we know Absolutely. Who you are, you think maybe you put a little too much pressure on yourself to be that guy?
That's a possibility, yeah.
Well, quit. If I We like you just the way you are.
I had a vision when I came in. I said, you know, I'm gonna work my ass off. I don't know if you can say that word.
Yeah, fuck your cock balls.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna work my ass off. And you know, my vision was to go in and win the first year of you know this club. You know, its existence. That was my plan, and I just couldn't stay healthy, and I let a lot of people down. So,
I know you have to feel that way, but none of us felt let down by you. I mean, we felt bad for you. I mean, we wanted you out there, but we weren't blaming you for not being. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, thank you.
but we saw bits and pieces. You know, we saw when you were healthy, what a difference you made out there. And even when you weren't 100%, when you were out there, everything ticked up a notch. And the same with Jameel. Jameel was a guy who started to get hot, then he got hurt. And it took a long time for him to get back there, but then at the end he showed. And Musa, same thing, all these players. And we kept saying, if we could get all of these guys on the field at the same time.
For weeks at a time.
Right.
Yes.
We would have something.
Mm-hmm. Bird's favorite phrase is a rising tide lifts all boats. And we saw other guys performing better with you guys in the lineup than without. You know, where it really did, I mean, not to guilt you or anything here, but it was like,
all right.
But it was like when you were in, we saw a significant difference. And, you know, in this offseason, we're like, damn, I can't wait to see a full season. Because it's like, it really is almost like a new signing.
But I also want to say, Nick Bibb smacked a guy and got banned for 4 games, and we told him he didn't let us down. So I wouldn't worry about it.
To be fair, the guy deserved it.
But you know what? In the run that we had in the dog days of summer, things like that show you the team still care.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
Does that make sense? Even though
don't want anybody to take a red card, but I mean, when it happened, we were like, well, he's still fighting. He cares.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's much better than putting your head down and just kind of walking off, you know? I don't know.
Yep.
No, there's absolutely something to it. You want to see that drive. Yeah.
I don't want to go through the entire schedule, but you mentioned that Orange County Blues, for example, you don't have any friends. I imagine you've got a lot of friends scattered throughout the league that you either played with before or played against. Any games on the schedule that you're personally looking forward to, either because you're playing against a friend or you like that city or stadium? Anything you're looking forward to?
If I'm flipping through here, Swope Park Rangers, the new Kansas City team. I think that's going to be a good little matchup. I'm not sure who they have their intentions on signing, but I know they just picked up Tommy Meyer, who's a St. Louis guy. He's a younger kid, so I grew up playing with him a little bit through Tommy Howe and all that. So I think
good one. We got 4 games with them. So
exactly,
they're making a splash, man. They got some money. They are
signed the keeper from Oklahoma City, right?
No, Zach Lubin from Tulsa Roughnecks.
From Tulsa, okay.
He's 6'7". He's
Oh my God!
He's got some reach.
I thought we had tall goalies.
Yeah, but we scored 4 goals past him last year. So long may that continue.
Well, and the thing is,
shoot low. He can't bend down.
Yeah. Swope seems to be doing this whole thing of picking up guy, the parent club, taking flyers on guys.
You know what?
Of taking a guy in, maybe giving him a better wage than he'd get somewhere else, and seeing what he entails for that call up.
It's smart. I mean, that's what they should be doing. They should be taking using that second team as a way to
take a gamble on a player. He's going to quite make it.
Right, where we saw like Montreal last year being more of a developmental team.
An academy team.
An academy team, that's a better way. That they Swope seems to be more of, all right, let's see what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tommy Meyer may fit into SKC's plans next year or even this year, if I mean, you know,
depending on what happens.
There has to be some kind of plan there. Yeah. I guarantee it, because I'm surprised that he was not picked up by someone else in the league.
I really thought
he's
he
a very good
be,
player.
Yeah.
Well, that's what leads me also to think that they might be doing the I'll pay you more to sit here
for sure. Yeah.
With the potential coming up.
Well, and it's good for a player too, you know, to, you know, he's got to buy his time, he's got to stay healthy, he's got to stay fit, and he knows there's going to be eyes from a team on him mm-hmm. in training. So it works out for him.
A couple hours home to St. Louis, it's not a bad situation at all.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, SKC, they're going to be playing in the CONCACAF Champions League. They've got the MLS. If they go deep in the Open Cup again, they may need guys
they may need
deep
some bodies,
in that
yeah.
roster.
Yep.
Pull them on up.
But they've Alec Khan has gone there. I'd be glad to see. Good to see how he does.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. That guy works his butt off, too, and I wish him nothing but the best of luck.
Unless he's playing us.
Oh, yeah, but, true. You know, all the lads that have left us, you know, we all wish them well. I mean, if they go off to... If they go off to bigger and better things, then, you know...
All for it. That's what it's supposed to be.
There'll be no shortage of players coming to us to get the training, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have to recognize this is a developmental league, and kids wanting to get time to go up. I mean, Brandon, you love being here, but I'm sure if somebody called you tomorrow and said, hey, we've got an opening for you, you go, because that's your career, you know? Or, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
There's a possibility, but I've made a commitment here, and I'm sticking with
it
right now.
I know,
you know, and I like where I am right now.
But I mean, a majority of our younger players, and I'm really happy with the core that we've brought back. They're all hard workers. They're all good kids. I mean, we have to realize that maybe this isn't their final stop. They want mm-hmm. to go on. They want to. You have the luxury of having had that. But some of these guys are real hungry to get where you were, and we should be a club that facilitates that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to hold any of these guys back.
No. That's a lifelong dream.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. So a couple of questions I've got for you is, at the beginning of the season, Musa was the captain. And then about halfway through, you became captain. Now, do we as fans make more of that than it they really is a captain of the club just a meaningless thing, or is there something more to it?
I don't think it was a big ordeal at all. It was just, you know, Dale pulled me aside one day and told me, hey, you're gonna be captain for tonight's game, you know, and then it just kind of led into the next week, and the next week I just kept on, you know, I was anointed captain, so, you know, and Moose is, he's a younger kid, and I think he is a leader on the field. That's what he is. He's a goofball off the field. I have to say that. Not in a bad way.
I don't mean that
in a bad way whatsoever. He's a goofy guy, and, you know.
I like him, we will have nothing but good words to say about Musa. We love him.
He's the man.
The first I don't know, three or four podcasts that we had players on, we always asked, just to be jerks like we are, who's the biggest pain in the ass on the team? And immediately everyone said Musa. Like,
Musa can be the pain
but,
in the
but
ass.
But in a good
yeah.
way. Everybody,
in a good way.
Yeah.
In a laughing, yeah, playful
but I mean,
way.
But that's... I mean, he was always like, before we even had the question out, Musa.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. He's got a little clown character to him, so I think a lot of the guys...
But that's good. You want guys like that on your squad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of smiles with Musa.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of people laugh. At him.
I don't know, man. Those Kiwi Warriors. I wouldn't want to piss him off.
No, he's a big dude, too.
At least Brandon's got the right hat on tonight. We got to fix that with Musa.
Yeah,
always wearing the Yankees hat.
The Yankees hat. Got to get rid of that.
That's got to stop.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
It's like us picking an Australian rules football team, you know, and just picking the champion.
Right.
You do know you picked the Chelsea of baseball, right? Actually, no, I guess it's more Manchester United because they have history.
Speaking of Manchester United, I can't watch them. I can't watch them anymore.
No, is that your
that
team?
Was my,
is
that was my team growing up. Okay. Not anymore.
I'm
watch Bird have a conniption for
I
you.
Am,
it's going to be
I
great.
I am Van Gaal free. I'm done with him.
I'm done, too.
He's a Dutch fraud. He can leave whenever he wants. I've got to say, the only reason I think they're keeping him around is because I think they've got the heart set on maybe getting Guardiola in the summer.
You think they're holding Mourinho off
I think
on the,
so.
On the chance
no,
they could get Guardiola?
There's no other reason, because Mourinho's available now.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. even if Mourinho isn't a long-term answer, he's never going to be a
no.
Alex Ferguson.
Mourinho's a two-year guy.
But you know what? It'd be a wild ride. And right now, it is
I think
not
that's
fun.
I think that's exactly what United needs,
just
honestly, is a Mourinho completely sever the ties between Alex Ferguson. You know, there is no more of that.
Wipe the slate clean.
Wipe the slate clean. Let him win a championship and then burn it down the next year. And then you bring in somebody
new. But
it'll
be fun, though. Because right now it is not fun.
It's bad.
Watching that team.
Yeah. His press conferences will be a whole lot more entertaining than Van Gaal's.
I'd take it in a heartbeat. I really would. And not only that, but I mean, United's still one of the biggest clubs in the world. You know, to have him there just doing that shenanigans he does,
and they
it doesn't get better.
They do need to break from the comparing everybody to Alex Ferguson. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
And that's
because you're never going to have that again.
Because they did that when Busby left, right? When Busby left, they had Busby upstairs in the stands, and every time the team lost, the camera would pan to Busby, and it was a millstone around the neck. Liverpool did it with Hodgson. They had De Gliesch up in the stands, yeah. And every time Hodgson lost, the camera went up to De Gliesch.
The Manchester United games now, the commentators are trying to read what Sir Alex is whispering to his friend, you know, and it's just like, he said they got to fire him. He said, give me a hot dog, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, that constant scrutiny.
Ferguson needs to be told, don't come back for a couple of years.
I think so. I mean,
part of the problem is that you guys can't hide these guys in a owner's box up in the skies like we can in the States, you know.
Don't come back.
You know, here you can put a guy in the owner's box where it's behind tempered glass that nobody can see through. There, you're out in the middle. You know, you can't hide him. He's not going to hide.
Anyway, stop talking about Mike.
I know. I'm just enjoying other people suffering.
I do.
Really?
I do.
Newcastle fan feel sorry for you. There's
Newcastle,
something wrong.
Oh my gosh!
I'm a St. Louis Blues fan and a St. Louis FC fan. I'm getting used to disappointment.
Yeah, that's messed up.
It's 1 year. We can't be used to disappointment yet.
Yeah. I'm putting pressure on them. Right. Change my ways.
That's fine. I like pressure.
Change my ways.
I do have some questions for you, Brandon, that we got off of Twitter and Facebook and Reddit.
Sure.
Tina Landis, I believe Tina came and saw you at the Arnold Bank opening you were at
she
the other
did,
day.
Yes.
Yeah. She said off-season motivation. You've talked about that already, but, I mean, other than you want to be healthy and you want to get out, what motivates you to, not just here, but every off-season, what keeps you going? What keeps you striving?
This off-season, I had a baby girl.
Congratulations.
She's a year old now, so I did have her during the season last year, but now she's starting to gain a little personality, and now everything's kind of coming to, okay, I am a dad, and I got a little, you know, a little daughter who's walking around now, so.
Oh, you're in for such a ride.
Daddy,
oh, I know.
Daddy, why
you should
are your
be
friends
at home
yelling
asleep.
You suck?
Get out on the field, yeah.
You should be at home asleep.
No, at one, you're getting sleep back.
Yeah.
Last year, he wasn't getting sleep. Now he's getting sleep.
She goes to bed at 6:30 every night and doesn't wake up until 7:30 the next morning.
That's awesome.
13
she's
hours straight.
She's a rock star.
She's awesome.
How much alcohol are you putting in her system?
She loves Benadryl, too. Yeah. Coincidence?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
That's awesome.
All natural.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You realize that just means that she's going to be a total diva in about 5 years.
Oh, I believe that.
Because Brad and I both have had that experience. And
you don't want 13.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Not like 6 is a walk in the park.
No, I know. But at 13, I go, no, you can't leave the house wearing that.
I will be the same way, I promise you. Yeah.
Mike McHugh, wanted to know about your health. We've already kind of covered that. Dave Corbett, did you think you would ever be back in St. Louis as a pro soccer player? You're out on your career. You're going different places. Did you think maybe I'll end up back in St. Louis playing pro soccer?
You know what? I always did have that vision in mind because I knew that St. Louis was always in the talks every time about the expansion mm-hmm. team coming in. You know, I didn't expect to come back so early in my career, but I did. I did have that in mind actually.
Matt Hutchinson wanted to know your thoughts on USL. Did it surprise you, the level of the play, or is it, you know, what you thought it would be? Any thoughts about USL in general?
It's a higher level than people give it credit for. That is for sure. You know, playing within the first 6 years in the league, we'd play against USL teams and ASL teams in the US Open Cup all the time, every single year, right. And they would give us a dogfight every single time. We went to Harrisburg when I was with Red Bull, and they beat us in overtime. There, so we lost at Harrisburg, and we had some very key players out there with us. So, you know, anything can happen, it's only getting better. They're signing all kinds of, you know, great players are coming into the league. You know, it's building. That's for sure.
It was one thing I was really proud of with regards to St. Louis was that the crowds out there at Soccer Park, even though we were getting beat every now and again, you know, the fans recognized how good the level of competition was. You know, they kept coming back. You know, even when we got beat by Rochester, the second home game, everyone, I was looking at it going, this is a really good team. You know, mm-hmm. I think the fans recognized that even though the results weren't going our way, this was top quality stuff.
That was the team that impressed me most throughout the entire season. The
team that bored me most.
Collectively, their organization was it was just a straight up 4-4-2.
And the way they did it without paying any of their bills, that's also impressive. We should report Rochester does have new ownership now.
Yes.
It's a local couple up there who are very invested in the community, and they're going to make the improvements to the stadium that needed to be made, and hopefully they're on solid ground now, because it would be a shame to lose Rochester.
It was impressive what they did last year.
And they've been a staple in this league and U.S. soccer in general for a long time, so I'm glad they got that worked out.
They were always another city talked about with regards to MLS, you know, back in the early days. Oh, especially. Yeah.
There was a time when Sporting Kansas City, well, it was the Wizards back then, were going to move to Rochester. Mm-hmm. And they were that was when St. Louis was going to get a team, when they moved one to Rochester. But we won't dwell on that.
Yeah, Rochester, though, I mean, they were boring to watch, but they were very effective.
It's very competent.
1-2-0 up, shut the game down.
It was the neutral. Special. It's a neutral zone trap of hockey in the '90s. Yeah. It was just boring, defensively sound.
But they were good enough to do it.
Yep.
Kept doing it all year long,
and it worked every single time.
Every time.
And if it weren't for Charlotte, which is kind of funny, they would have gone undefeated. I mean, that was their only loss, wasn't it, Charlotte?
I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I mean. We can say it was boring, but
it worked.
I'd have taken that season.
Yeah.
I'd have taken their season.
I'd have taken that season.
I'll take anything that does that well. That's no question.
Kevin Weber wanted to know, the U.S. Open Cup, when you guys are playing in that, and it adds a game to the schedule or a game to the middle of the week usually, is that draining on a team, or is it exciting? I mean, you get up for it.
It's exciting. It's something different. It's not your typical USL, you know, league game. Sometimes you're playing against a lower tier team. Sometimes it's an MLS squad. So it's a new look. It's something that I think every single player in the locker room looks forward to.
We sure as hell had a good time.
I was about to say that was probably one of the highlights of our season was when we went to Sporting KC. I mean,
well, even the games in the lead up. I mean, the Des Moines game, the Minnesota game.
They were
well the Minnesota game was so huge the way it went down, but that was the game that allowed us to go to Sporting KC.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just us all walking into that stadium, as much as we're not MLS and we enjoy being in USL, there was something about walking into that stadium to mm-hmm. support your own team,
and you could just see it in all the players' faces, like they were having such a good time, and it was such an experience for them, and that's what I enjoyed about it.
Now, this year it's going to be different. We're going to take it away from them if we go back there. We're going to shut them up.
We had a damn good game. I mean, we weren't flashy, but we held our own for a long time.
They didn't
have no scrubs out there either.
No, they had the starting lineup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. U.S. National Graham Zusi shushed us.
Yes, he did.
But you know, he had to be worried for a time that, you know, these scrubs may beat us.
Yeah, if you're shushing us, we got to you. That's the important thing. I don't care about. Yeah, it would have been nice to win. We lost. We quote unquote, we were supposed to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a top level team. We're supposed to lose. But for us to get into their heads enough to where he has to come over and shush us.
Yep.
And for the team that they put out there, it was a lot closer than they wanted it to be.
Much closer. So, you know, we did everything. St. Louis as a whole did everything we were supposed to going in there. They know it. Yeah. And that was a landmark moment.
I hope the younger kids really appreciated that day of, you know, I mean, that's the big time for
you could tell
US
that some
player,
some of the
yeah.
players were a little bit starstruck too, you know. And that's,
oh yeah, I mean,
it was awesome.
I've seen
it
you
was,
on TV.
Yeah.
After the game,
yeah.
Can I get your autograph? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a big deal.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Did it change the locker room afterwards? How they kind of, you know, was there a little bit of a high or
I think there was a big high just because we knew that we lost the game, but we held them to one goal, mm-hmm. you know, and they had a couple chances, but it, and we had our fair share of chances too. Couple, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it. We didn't expect to go in that game to win it, or you know, but yeah, it was a positive feeling for
that
sure.
That was our cup final, though. That
it kind of was.
It was our cup final. I mean, we took two busloads of people down there. It was a proper day.
That was so much fun.
Proper soccer day.
That was so much fun. I can't wait for the bus trips this year. Yeah. Seriously, I think those are almost as fun as the home games. You know,
it kind of is. I mean, it's different, but it's
like, and especially since we're talking about OKC, it'll be that fourth game of the year. So it's all fresh and new and shiny. And
Well, and we talked to some of the other players and Jeremy and Dale. And, I mean, your road trips, a lot of times, and it may be good to start the season on the road, you guys can bond a little bit more. I mean, yes, the bus rides suck or the, you know, plane rides suck. And but you do get to have that time where it's just the guys and it's just, I mean, just goofing around.
That's what it's all about. Right. Yeah, just give us some time together.
So,
and what better spot is there than a bus that's crammed 24/7 and it smells like, you know.
And some stupid thing can be something you guys, you know, you'll see Jacob Bushu 20 years from now. And you're like, you remember when Musa did this on the bus? You know, I mean,
yeah.
Little things like that can make a big difference in a team building experience.
Absolutely.
Anthony John Gilbert wanted to know your favorite Premier team. We kind of talked about that. It was United growing up. Who do you like to watch now? Players.
It was United. I can't. I mean, I'm from America, so I can say this. But it was United and Arsenal. It was during Arsenal's glory days, and then it was during United's just, you know, awesome days also. So
our glory decades.
I've always been a huge fan of Arsenal, and I still am today because they haven't changed anything about the way that
nothing.
They play. No, the style
still
play.
No,
it's fun. It is
exactly.
fun to watch.
It's true.
It is absolutely fun to watch.
It's,
no,
it is.
It's,
the way that I see the game is how Arsenal plays.
Yeah. I mean, any particular players that you like grew up trying to be or when you watch now, little things you pick up from?
From those two teams. I mean, you got Ronaldo, you got Paul Scholes, you got Fabregas was even playing. He was, what, 16, 17 at the time? I thought he was very impressive. And then
now
obviously
he sucks.
Thierry Henry. Now he sucks, yeah.
Well, you mentioned Thierry
now
Henry.
Now he's a Premier League winner.
let's talk about Thierry Henry. You played a year with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And any great stories, or was it just, like, nice to be in his aura of...
Talk about starstruck.
Yeah.
That's me. That's everybody in that locker room, and it doesn't even go away.
It
doesn't go away.
It never got to be,
no.
Oh, that's
whenever
just
whenever I was
Thierry.
Around Thierry, I was nervous.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, every time. But, yeah, he's got something to him that is just a little bit intimidating. He's got a little swagger
but
to
was
him.
He one of the guys, too, or was he?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He's a big clown off the field is what he is. On the field, you better be on his good side.
Yeah. Oh, so, no, we've all seen the arms go up and the shrug and, you know. I wanted that ball right here. What's wrong with you?
Inch off, you're screwed.
Right.
You're going to hear about it, yeah.
But that's got to be one of those things that, you know, you'll just have locked away in the back of your mind. I was his teammate.
Yep.
You know, that's a great...
It's pretty cool.
Great memory.
Pretty cool.
Brad says the same thing about me.
I do.
they swap shirts at the end of his podcast.
He's
aww.
If you don't know, Mitch is a Hall of Famer. Bird submitted Mitch's name for the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame Fan of the Year as a joke, and Mitch won.
Hell yeah.
So the award's over there. It's next to Joe Boo and my Dave Grohl prayer candle.
He's a Hall of Famer.
That's awesome.
Who'd you go in with? You went in with Twelman?
Twelman and...
Cujo?
Pronger? Was it Pronger?
No, it was... God, I don't even remember. All the crap's over there in a bag. I don't know.
He was obviously the big name on the list.
Absolutely. Mitch. Yeah. That's all you got to put on there, Mitch.
Yeah, single name.
Mm-hmm. He signs his checks, HOF.
You're laughing. We had an end-of-the-year sign that we had that we all signed, Mitch Maurice, HOF 15.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm like, goddamn right.
So talking to superstars, what's Tim Cahill like?
He's an awesome guy. Very down-to-earth, the family man. Outgoing, works his butt off. He's there for the team, and he pulled through a lot for us. So he was one of the guys that I think a lot of the younger guys looked up to, just in terms of attitude and
that year,
mentality heading into every single game.
He had an amazing year that year.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, he was doing things that I've never even seen out of his entire career. You know, bombs from 30 yards out with the left foot and. I mean, obviously he had the head ball goals. That's straight up his alley.
But, I mean, when we signed you, I mean, everything. The first thing people did, we went on YouTube.
First thing you did was buy an Earthquakes jersey with his number on it, fanboy.
It's over there, dude.
That's what I'm talking about.
That white one there, man. It's just, yeah. He's going to sign it. We're going to get a Sharpie and sign it later. But...
What color Sharpie you want? We can.
We're not even recording this. It was just all a ruse for Bird to get your autograph.
That's fine.
We're all like YouTubing like Brandon, and we seen that though those goals he scored for the Red Bull against DC. That has to have been an amazing moment.
Yeah,
especially it was against your old team.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the fuel that I had. After I scored those goals, I blacked out, and I think I ran to DC's bench to say a few words, which is probably not a good idea. But
I imagine a lot of the fans blacked out after that, too.
Oh, I bet.
If you score a bunch of goals in a game, I'm going to black out.
No, but I mean, after the game, you're being interviewed, and Tim Cahill comes over and gives you a hug, and I'm like, the guy we've just signed got hugged by Tim Cahill. I mean, that's worse. We're in St. Louis going, you know, we don't know if we're going to have a team or whatever, yeah. And you know, next year we've got a guy who's coming back, and it's just wild.
Mm-hmm.
Was that one of those days where just like everything was right with the world? Like,
oh my gosh,
you knew,
not just one of those days, that it was the whole next week. Yeah. You know, it was
everything that fell to you. You knew exactly what was going to happen. All that,
yeah.
Time slowed down, and
it was awesome. That's
I have days like that at the Coed League in Vata.
No, you don't. That's the sad thing. You don't.
No, it's actually really awkward because then the guy says, listen, this is a U8 team. You need to get off the field.
Come on.
Don't we have a restraining order against you?
This is a school. You're not allowed within 200 yards.
I did actually just get a question message to me. So Newcastle Tony's asking a question. He's excited. He says, what's your favorite local brewery?
Are you allowed to drink that much?
Yeah, I was going to say, can we, maybe an off-air question to ask?
Favorite local brewery? Trailhead. Ooh. Off Main Street in St. Charles. I'm a St. Charles guy, you know? I have good memories there.
Well, this is related. I mean, we talk about, you know, athletes now. It used to be, as soon as the last game of the season was played, they'd get fat, they'd smoke cigarettes. You know, as a professional athlete, that's your job 24 hours a day all throughout the season. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You may take a couple weeks of relaxation or whatever, but you got to stay fit all year long. Do you allow yourself a month off? How much time do you take off?
Well, I mean, I was unhealthy, end of last season. So for me, my mentality was just to stay as clean as possible. Yeah. You know, I've changed my diet. I've changed my workout routine.
And that's changed a lot over the years. I mean, the diets of amateur players, even guys in college, are on strict
mm-hmm.
diets. And
the wife, he has me on something right now. Yeah. Yeah, and it's working. It's making me feel a lot better. So
yeah, I say the same
thing. I'm going to stick with it. No, but I've been very good. I normally...
But you let yourself have a couple days where you have a couple beers.
A week
and
a half. Yeah. A week and a half. I'll give myself a week and a half just to hang out with buddies, families, friends. And once you get around to the Christmas season and the New Year holiday, that's normally when, you know, you have your fun.
Sure.
But then after that, it's all business. And that's...
Well, let's talk about that, too. You mentioned family and friends. You're obviously from St. Louis. Has that been a distraction at all? Or has that been great that they come out to the park? Or... You know, some guys don't want to play in front of anybody they know, you know.
It's been positive. Everything is positive. It's just with my switch from San Jose to here, right, we had to ship everything back, you know, so we had the 20-hour drive and all that good stuff. And I don't want to make excuses, but it was tough because I temporarily moved into my mom's home for the first, I think, 4 months of the season, and we didn't really have a home. I was living out of a suitcase, you know, me and the wife and the little girl. So... We finally got the house. I'm living out in Lake St. Louis now, which is where I'm from, and I finally feel settled. It takes a little while, you know, after you buy your first home.
Yeah,
that's a big
yeah.
deal in itself. And then now I'm good.
Yeah.
So,
He's in a good school district, Bird.
That's right.
That's right. My wife teaches out there, and his kid will go out there.
Wentzville?
Oh, you're in Wentzville?
Well, I mean, it would be Wentzville High School. So.
Oh, okay. No, it's a different one. Then screw you. Just making sure my wife has a job. That's all I care about.
That's where Eric is a doctor. I was at St. Joe's West, though.
Yeah.
So if you have another baby, you could go talk to Matt's wife.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There you go.
Cool.
There you go.
But I do have a question. It ties into what you're talking about with being in San Jose and New York. For everyone that's read Grant Wall's book about the Beckham experiment and stuff, he talks about Alan Gordon being at LA on $25,000 a year. You lived that. That was you. I mean, you were living in San Jose, D.C., and New York. Those are the three probably most expensive parts of the country.
By far, yeah.
And you're on, for all intents and purposes, pretty much league minimum. Explain to me how you do that.
I'm sure before you're married, it's cool to maybe share a place with a couple guys or whatever.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. At the time, I was living with another St. Louis guy, Johnny DiArmondo, when I was with D.C. So I was living with him and the trainer and then one other goalkeeper who lived downstairs with us. And I think I was on $22,000, you know, something like that.
In D.C., yeah. Which is the equivalent of $5,000 here.
So, yeah, we have four guys in a little bitty house. You know, it's like a little split-level home, and the rooms are the size of the closet that I have now. It's crazy. But so we paid $500, but still on that salary, $500 a month. That's a big dent.
Good chunk of your...
It's a big dent.
Man,
and
I'd be just screaming for a trade to Columbus.
No kidding. I know.
No, I really don't fit in there, but I could live there.
Yeah. It was tough, but you make it work. And also, you know, the league, they supply appearances, and you're getting a big chunk of money from those appearances. And that's kind of where I made most of my money was, you know, through appearances. So
and
don't expect a check from here, by the way.
Oh, you guys aren't paying for that. Oh, okay. I'm kidding.
You just drank your payment. Yeah. That's what
well, and I mean, part of it is you're living the dream, so.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care one bit.
Yeah. But now when you do have a wife and a kid.
I care.
Then things start to change.
Now
I
care.
Yeah.
I need
to have rent.
Oh,
I need to have, you know,
mm-hmm.
diapers and all the good stuff that comes along with a one-year-old.
Yes.
It only gets worse. It only gets worse. No, this is the time to, you know, make a good season. That's when all the extra appearances come in.
I know.
That's
right.
Pat Ryan wanted to know USL versus MLS atmospheres. We kind of talked about there's a wide range of experience in USL. You mentioned Montreal or Toronto where they get 25, 35 people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have your Sacramentos where they get 11,000 people.
Yeah.
I imagine some MLS stadiums were better than others. Where were some of the best places you played as far as the atmosphere of the game?
In the MLS or USL?
Or either way, yeah.
I think there's a huge difference. I think USL has a long ways to go in terms of matching, obviously, atmosphere.
Right.
But the coolest stadium, that even though it's turf, I don't like turf, is Seattle. Seattle, I couldn't hear anything 5 feet from the left of me, the right of me. I couldn't hear a damn thing. Yeah. The entire time, but I thought that was such a cool experience because you're out there for 90 minutes and it's almost like you're in a different world for 90 minutes, and then you're done. You're like, wow, that was a very very cool experience.
You're still ringing the next day. Yeah,
it's like, okay, I played all right too in that kind of atmosphere. So, you know, that's a big confidence booster. But Seattle's really really cool, and I've played at Sacramento before too, mm-hmm. with the Earthquakes, and that's an awesome atmosphere. I think they get about 12. And that place is popping. So I'm looking forward to that one.
That's early in the season. That's April 23rd.
Yep.
We talked to all kind of different guys. Like Sam Fink says he just tunes it out. He doesn't hear anything. He's so locked in. Does it make a difference to you when the crowd's going or when either for you or against you, do you feed off of any of that or do you tune it out?
It depends on how big the crowd is, I think. When there's 50,000 fans that are screaming, yeah, it's going to get to you a little bit. You know,
but like when guys are on you, like yelling at you, does that fire you up? Or
depending on who's yelling at me. Yeah.
Because we can do that. We can yell at you if that'll help.
Okay. Yeah.
But by the same token, then you flip to when you're in, you know, Toronto or Montreal and it's 100 people.
That's, and those are those are games that are so tough to get up for.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you. Those are very...
When you can hear the mom talking on her cell phone.
Those road trips, they drag along.
It's got to be a shock to the system. I mean,
it is.
Like, deafeningly quiet kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes me shudder. I just don't even want to think about it.
I did not like Montreal at all. Yeah.
Do you think some of their players, then, when they come to a place... I mean, not that we're the equivalent of Seattle, but we do have a loud crowd, or Louisville, or any of the other places that do get a good crowd. Do you think some of those guys are like, oh, I wish our home field was like that?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you played half of your games in a mausoleum. I mean, that's got
to
be tough.
I do think they got up. When they came to us, or Louisville, or wherever, they get up for playing in front of 5,000 people when they used to play in front of a guy and a dog. You know?
Yeah. And Mario.
And the guy's more interested in the dog.
And Mario.
Mario. Yeah. The one guy with the St. Louis flag in New York. That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. He was running around the entire time. I forget his name, but you are awesome, Mario. Yeah.
He's moved back. He's come back.
So yeah, he moved to Philly last year, but he's back.
Mario's the man. That was cool.
We wanted to do a GoFundMe so we could get him to every game with his flag.
Yes.
We did actually name him Man of the Match that game, and yes. We gave him a beer bucket.
Sounds right.
Last question I have for you is... Bob Beyer from Twitter, he wanted to know, and you alluded to this a little bit.
Is it Bob Beyer?
Bob Beyer. Okay.
That's my father-in-law.
Oh, well, there you go. Nice.
That would be my father-in-law.
Well done.
He probably knows better than us, but he wanted to know difference between the second year and the first year. Obviously, you mentioned coming in, having to live out of a suitcase. Are you much more comfortable coming into this season?
Yeah, like I said, you know, we're settled down in the house. We have everything is in. We don't have to worry about, you know, moving things, which that took literally about 3 months with all the stuff that we have. So I'm just in a better mindset. And whenever I do feel settled and I'm in my comfort zone, I feel settled. I think good things happen. And
in general, as a team, I mean, we were scrambling, throwing pieces together as a team last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a core. Now we have something to build on, and you at least know half of your teammates. You know, last year, you're coming in, and this is the first time you've ever stepped on a field with some of these guys. And
right. Yeah, I mean, I remember having thoughts, you know, how do I handle this situation? Do I want to come in and really communicate everything that I'm thinking, or do I want to take a step back and maybe just analyze a little bit and do a little chipping here and there? But now I know what to expect. I know what St. Louis FC is all about, what their intentions are, and that's I'm on par with that.
How much optimism is there now going into the second season, considering that they actually we had a lot more chemistry in the back end of last year? You know, with the three home wins, is there a lot more bounce going into the second season, do you think?
It's such a long off season, so I know, right? You know.
Well,
so.
And you haven't officially reported for camp yet.
Right.
I mean, you like you mentioned, you worked out with Bushu a little bit, but is that coming up in mid February? I think
February 16th, I believe, is the date. Yeah,
so
that we report.
Then we'll find out. You know.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of faces that I don't know. Yeah. You know, but they're the newcomers coming in, so it's a different stance.
Yeah, I think just like I said, just having a base to work off of. And adding a few players to an existing mix is a lot better than throwing, you know, 23 guys out there and seeing what you got.
Yep. The players that we have coming back are the players that we need coming back.
And you know what they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what to expect. I mean, we want them to get better, obviously, but you're not just looking at YouTube videos trying to decide, you know, because, I mean, I couldn't look good if you cut together a YouTube video, but... You see a lot of these guys on YouTube, and it's like, he looks like he's the world's best player.
Yeah.
You know?
We were watching footage as we were training today of the Salvadoran guy who's coming in.
Herrera.
Am I not?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That was the last podcast that came up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They told Jim and Tom not to talk about it, and we talked about it. So.
Oh, okay.
So we've all seen that YouTube clip. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yes.
Third one where he... brings down the ball that's like this high and one touches it,
I'm glad we're not looking at El Salvadorian defenders, though, I've got to be honest, because they didn't look too hot in that video.
That's true.
You see, that's the thing. It's a different world now, because it's what we said last week. you know, as soon as there was a room, as soon as somebody posted something on an El Salvadorian newspaper, we heard about it.
I've got a Google alert for St. Louis FC and bing.
Yep.
Really?
You know, yeah. Oh. And here it comes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, we're signing a kid from El Salvador. Jeremy's like, you're not supposed to know that. I'm like, Twitter knows it, dude. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, Bond, we found out. We actually found out from Tulsa.
They were talking about it before we were talking about it. So we're like, well, we can
talk about it now because they're talking about it.
Well, it's official now. I mean,
but this was before that. It was like a week before it was official. It was like, well, Tulsa's talking about it. We're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to let them scoop
us. I'd also
like
to say congratulations. You're having your second baby. I heard it on Twitter.
Oh, man. Wow.
Like, he got real.
Wow.
This just in.
No.
Bird, call your wife. We got an emergency situation.
She violated all kind of HIPAA rules.
Wow. Oh, there goes his health. He's back on the IR. Wow. That was not cool.
Sorry.
All four, all three of us tensed up there.
My heart dropped. I'm not going to lie.
We've all had that. Wait a minute. I thought I was done.
Wait a minute. I know I'm done.
Yeah.
It's not mine, that means.
Yeah.
Who was the toughest opponent last year?
When I was on the field or?
Yeah, when you, that you played.
At Louisville, I thought they played really well.
Yeah.
I thought they took it to us. We were under pressure quite a bit. That field was absolutely shocking. But they had a game plan. I mean, they used the field as to their advantage. They knew how to play on that field. Uh-huh. They would pin us in that terrible corner of theirs, and they would ping the ball around a little bit. So I was a little bit impressed with Louisville.
The second game that we played at Louisville, Mitch and I both noticed it. Rankin came in and looked like he had something going that day. And that ball, he looked like he took it early just so he didn't have to step on that artificial surface.
Oh, yeah.
And it went in, but it was like we both knew he was going to pull that early just because.
It's on your mind. Yeah.
If he plants his foot there, it's not going to react the same way the other foot's reacting because he's on two different surfaces.
Right. You're right. I couldn't believe it when I stepped on that field. I could not believe it.
I think the funniest thing for us was Jeremy was in the stands. And the amount of disdain he had for that turf was very evident within moments.
And
it's like when you hear so many people talking so bad about it, that's terrifying to me. I honest to God think it'd be probably better if they just played on the dirt infield instead of the turf.
I would rather play on dirt, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you go from grass to dirt, you still plant the same way.
It's a consistent surface, at least. Yeah. Dirt, yeah.
They're doing a lot of things right in Louisville, and I hope they get
a
different
place
to play.
They need their own place.
I mean, economically, it's killing them, but just having their players. I mean, I'm worried about our players when they play there.
Blowing
their
out
players
a knee.
Are their players are playing on it every home game.
That's true. Yeah.
It's going to take running down a ball and that one misstep because of the seam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might as well be playing indoor on the old 1980s AstroTurf.
Watch out for the pitching mound.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Somebody accidentally hits the button and it pops up in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
But I think it's 3 points if you score from the pitching mound.
It's 50 points. It's rock 'em. It's like MTV Rock and Jock soccer.
But no, I hope they get a new stadium.
So nobody has to play on that shit.
I want all the stadiums in the league to improve. I mean, I wish ours was on grass. Obviously, where we're at kind of hinders that. But
as is evidenced by
Yeah, under 10 foot of water, I don't think any surface is safe. But
yeah,
let's mention that Jeremy did have we did ask Jeremy how the improvements are going at Soccer Park, and we do have a list. Mitch is getting it right now on his fancy notebook.
No, it's only because I was bored. So first things first is that they're working on the insides, and that's
we know the sales team is back in their offices, but they're working on the ballroom and the locker rooms.
The kitchen and grill and ballrooms are the first ones to be done. Obviously, those are going to make you money. So
you can't have mold where you cook.
No, you cannot. And you can rent out the ballroom, so that brings in funds. So you make sure those are done. And he did say they want to have it done for a chant practice. So be aware, guys. The locker rooms are after that. And that's the thing that kind of... One of the things that kind of hurt me was, like, they just had those locker rooms redone so nicely.
Yeah.
You know, the custom closets came out and redid it all, and it was really nice looking. And,
it really was.
And
yeah.
Now it's underwater. So that sucked. The store will be after that, and they're going to be trying to do some improvements while they're at it, like better changing rooms.
The great thing about the store, though, is it's only open 1 hour a week. So nobody will miss that.
Well, I was going to say, that, you know, they can't get any worse.
Really. Sorry, it's a long-running joke. People show up to buy stuff, and it's closed.
It's closed, yeah.
And it's only open for like 3 hours a day. 2 days a week kind of thing. And it's like Tuesday from 1 to 4 when everybody's at work.
Right.
You know, so it's like, this doesn't work. Anyway, the beer garden is completely done. They got that because they were planning on redoing that to begin with, from what I understand. So they went ahead and got that all done too as well. And next week they start work on the fields. The outer fields get done first. The main stadium is going to be the last one to do. I don't quite understand that. Well, it's probably because of the youth club.
Kids need to start playing their youth leagues, yeah.
Duh, never mind.
But we will be ready for the opening, home opener, which is also part of the reason we start on the road, is to give them a little more time just in case there's another cold snap, some more snow. I want to make sure they have plenty of time to get everything done.
I think we want to try to, you know, elbow our way in and be the first game played on it for our charity match that we need to reschedule.
I think so. I think that's...
I think that's kind of a priority. I think we should be the priority.
Let's just go ahead and announce it now.
Yeah, whenever it's done, that's when we're playing. If it's a Tuesday at 10 a.m. So
don't worry about reserving the field, Jeremy. We'll just show up.
We'll paint lines if we have to. We'll take care of it. But, yeah, so, no, they're making headway to everybody that's asking questions. They, you know, appreciate it and, you know, still can donate to the fund recovery from the homepage.
Yeah, and we're going to do a couple more things. I know the Blues are having a night where a portion of the tickets go to the Soccer Park Restoration Fund. We've got an autographed team jersey we're going to be auctioning off at some point. Different things we're going to do to raise some money for that. But it will be ready on opening day.
That's exciting. I can't wait.
So talking to the facilities, how are the facilities at Soccer Park and what you have as a player there compared to what you've had in the MLS?
Well, D.C., you're at RFK, which is 3,000 years old.
And
there's cockroaches the size of...
Hopefully, they've got everything. They're supposed to start working on their new stadium, which...
D.C.?
Which any team in the league deserves a stadium. It's D.C. They were...
Absolutely.
One of the original powerhouses in the league, and I'm happy for those fans that are getting a new stadium.
Yep. I agree with you.
RFK... I don't know if you've seen the Twitter. What's the Twitter hashtag they use? RFK's falling down or something. Where fans just take pictures of like chunks of concrete that have fallen.
Oh yeah,
you know.
And oh yeah.
So there'll be a picture of a raccoon in the upper tier or something.
As I just lay down and set the concrete on my head and be like, lawsuit. But
good luck with that.
No, it's, no but I think you sign a waiver when you walk into RFK.
A ticket is a waiver. Yeah.
Are the facilities comparable here, or have we still got a ways to go?
I think we're doing a great job. I think the
compared
venue...
to let's say compared to other USL clubs. I mean, it's not really.
Oh, we're
to say,
we're
yeah.
top. I would say top.
No, I was actually saying compared to because I've heard that we're pretty up there.
We're set up. There's no reason to complain about our situation right now. That's for sure. And when my first year in Red Bull, we trained at Montclair State University, which it wasn't even our grounds. Mm-hmm. You know, and we trained on a field that was inside a track. We had a itty bitty locker room with two other rooms for the masseuses, the trainers, and all them, and then hot and cold tub. So that was nothing. And then in San Jose, we were at Santa Clara University. So those weren't, and then both of them got the state-of-the-art facilities now. Yeah. But
did you play in the new stadium at San Jose, or was that
no?
You missed that.
Okay. Left just before that. I trained there.
They got another nice new stadium in MLS.
Avaya Stadium. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah,
I think that, you know, MLS is really doing well. I mean, teams like the Revolution need to get out of Gillette. They want their own stadium. But by and large, we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And won't be long.
But you compare us to other USL teams, I think we've got to be top. Everywhere that I've been, there aren't even facilities, you know. You're just in a little mobile home or something, you're changing your clothes, but
or in a dugout.
There's a bucket in the corner.
Charleston has a good nice little setup.
Yeah.
And we'll be heading there for preseason, but yeah, we have it. We've got it.
Now that's we're a happy. Bus trip you got to be looking forward to.
Oh,
to Charleston.
Man, I'm hoping we're flying to that one. I
saw a Dale at Mission Tackle. He's like, we're on a bus.
Are you? Are they really?
Yeah. Is Dale driving the bus? Please tell me it's like a 15-seater that you're all crammed into with a
couple Enterprise rentals.
I was about to say.
Dale and Jeremy driving. Man.
Uncle Dale putting his mixtape on.
Uncle Dale.
I wonder what's on a Dale mixtape.
Genesis.
No, it's fucking scouting reports from like. He's just listening to talk commentary of games from Lithuania.
He might be sitting in silence thinking about what he's going to do tactically for that next day. I can see that.
All right, what's on a Barclays mixtape then?
I grew up on country.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I'm another sorry. I love, you know, so I'm a St. Louis guy. I love hip hop. I listen to everything.
You weren't down with Gall's techno music in the locker room?
I've been around that. It's not up my alley.
Who was it that was complaining about Gall and his techno music? I can't remember. Somebody.
I asked
one of the early ones, wasn't it?
I asked Chad Vandegrift, right? I just said to Chad, I think it was when I was doing the KTRS thing, and I said, who's got the worst, who's got listened to the worst music? And before I even finished the sentence, he went, the Jamaicans. Before I even finished the sentence.
The Jamaicans never really put on music during, you know, pregame or anything. It was always Gall or Musa, yeah. I think it was.
What was Musa putting
Musa
on?
Musa was just terrible, like, man, like girly techno stuff.
Did you ever feel that, like, maybe Musa was doing it just to fuck with you? Like, he doesn't even listen to that stuff.
Possibly. I mean, he knew that we didn't like it, so I'm going to have a conversation. Yeah.
It's like Musa hates it too, but he knows everybody else does.
Right. He's the only one getting pumped up for games because of his stupid music. And I know you're listening, Musa.
So. No, he's not.
No, he ain't. If you are, stop it.
Wow, girly techno. I love that idea. I really do. Not much different than when DJ Red Bull came down to that one tailgate, so I'm all for it. Let's mess it all up.
That was something.
Screw everybody else's up. God, I just had a thought and I lost it. Better drink more.
I guess we should announce or report that there was a... All this talk about MLS to St. Louis.
This is a report. This isn't an announcement.
I mean, I don't want to fuel this fire because, honestly, I don't think there's anything newsworthy to report. There's some pretty pictures of different stadium renderings and
from
things.
From 8 years ago.
We will continue to say if you want MLS, the best thing to do is come out and support St. Louis FC. Mm-hmm. Prove there's a market here. Prove to potential investors that we love our soccer team. And we hope anything that does happen with that in the future includes St. Louis FC in some capacity. But we will say that there was a report tonight that a representative in the Missouri Congress introduced a House bill proposing that a sales tax be applied to a soccer-specific stadium. It hasn't been voted on yet. It's got to
go through voter approval.
It's got to go through voters. We don't know if there's anything behind this. We don't know if
going
there's
through
any...
voters after they just didn't get a football team. That's a hard sell.
There's two ways to look at it. Some people think you should strike while the iron's hot and replace a team that left. Some people think you need to give it a little time to cool down. I don't know that the market is quite ready for MLS yet. We don't have an ownership group. That's
it.
First and foremost, it's $100 million for an MLS expansion fee.
It's probably more than that now.
Well, not for this market. It was for New York and L.A., but even so, $60 million is a lot of money still.
$60 million, $100 million. Yeah. It's the same thing to me. I mean,
I didn't win Powerball, so it ain't
So the funding in this House bill approves up to $100 million. If you want a stadium like Sporting Kansas City, it's going to be $200 million.
Plus
the land to put it on if you want to put it on the North Riverfront where the proposed NFL stadium was. What I'm saying is, that yes, it does mean something, but I don't think it means a whole lot.
But to be fair, they could also propose a bill that names every third Tuesday of the month Brandon Barclays Day.
Right. And I would vote for that.
did you see the bill? There was a bill proposed that cyclists have to have 15-foot flags.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, anyone can propose a bill. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not saying never. I'm not saying it couldn't work. I'm just saying I don't think it's...
Let's have tempered expectations. Yeah. I think that's really what it comes down to.
If there was a guy who was a billionaire who said, no, I want a team in St. Louis, then we could really start talking about a potential. Mm-hmm. But right now, just come out and have fun at St. Louis yeah. FC.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we get a team or not, I'm having a blast. Everybody there, I mean, and I'm not just talking about the corner of Luligan's. I run into people all the time that bring their families out or bring dates out or just, you know, high school kids that play. There's really something for everybody at that stadium, and we're having fun. I mean, we sold out towards the end of the season, the last, what, 4 or 5 games.
When we were on a losing streak.
And we were on a losing streak when it happened. I mean, everybody that comes out has a good time. Mm-hmm. So,
and I want to mention at this point, too, Lindsay Toller of St. Louis Magazine,
yes.
who's always been fair to us to begin with, wrote a...
From way back, from the Lions days.
Yeah. She's been faithful to us and done us well. She wrote a fantastic article that came out today about, is this what you want? Well, here's what you need to do. And 90% of it revolved around coming out to STLFC.
Yep.
And that's the way it should be. If you're going to do this, you need to come out. You need to have fun, make some noise. Because if I'm a billionaire who's thinking about a team, does this market actually support it? If we're not selling out, the answer is no. Right. Plain and simple. That's what they do. I mean, you look at Sacramento selling 12,000, 18,000 at one point in time. Their answer is yes. You know, if we can't fill 5,000.
And that's really who we're competing against. I mean, we're competing against Sacramento. We're competing against San Antonio, who they were with the NASL, but now they're with USL.
There's 4 slots, right? There's 4 slots from 24 to 28. You've got to think Sacramento and San Antonio is getting a gig, and that means there's 2 slots left. They're both not coming to the Midwest. One will come to the Midwest. There's 1 slot. We're against Cincy, Louisville, Indy, and they're doing stuff, and we ain't. We're not leading that pack. If you want MLS, you've got to come and support what we've got, and let's get this ball rolling.
Louisville's packing 7,000 plus into that stadium.
They've got a feasibility study for a new stadium. Their mayor has put it.
And the Indianapolis Indy 11 are working on getting a new stadium. Yeah, and they're packing 10,000 into the college they play at now. And Cincinnati,
they can't serve beer in there. That helps.
We know Cincinnati's got
they're
big
making
money.
Noises, yeah.
They've got big money, which is half the battle. I mean, sadly, it should be about fan support, and it should be about, but it's about money.
So the be all end all, you have to show up.
And
if you're 250 miles away and telling us what we need in St. Louis, you can kiss my ass because you're not showing up.
Yeah. I'll be very disappointed if Cincinnati gets an MLS team before St. Louis does.
You know, but that's the point. We have to make sure that they don't.
Well, and the other point is the people that we talked to and said, just come out and give it a try. You might find yourself falling in love with this team like we have to the point that I'm an Arsenal fan and Matt asked me the other day, who are you guys playing Saturday? And I was like, I don't know. The schedule's coming out. You know what I mean? I'm emotionally, physically invested into St. Louis FC, and it will take over your life in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And so just come out and give it a try. If you come out and it's not for you, no harm. But I think a lot of people come out and fall in love with what's going on, and a lot of people are buying season tickets who we've talked to on Twitter, who we've talked to on Facebook, and they said, yeah, I had a great time, and $150, that's a whole summer worth of fun. So,
well, I mean, you also have to mention that last year we didn't come out with the best record, right? But we were also top 4 in attendance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, you combine an improved squad, a good product on the field, a winning record, a playoff team, and a contender with all those fans that are loyal.
We'll be the hottest ticket in town.
And we've told, you know, Jim Cavanaugh, Tom Strunk, all the guys in the front office, our goal is to make you spend money and open more seating and, you know, bring in more stands. And they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to prove to them that we need it. So come out and have fun, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I still maintain, though, with Sacramento, you mentioned the results not being there for us. I still think with MLS, they're waiting to see how Sacramento do when they go on an 8-game skid. You know, let's see if they still get 11,000.
If they have a bad season, do they all disappear?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I
think that's what Garb is waiting to see. But.
Could be. Well, and the same could be said for Louisville. You know, they had a great season last year. They had the season we wanted as an expansion team.
Yeah.
You know, made it to the semifinals and the playoffs. they had a great season. If they would have had the season we had, would they have gotten to 7,000 fans? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's another, that's a challenge they have to face.
Would there have been a feasibility study done?
Exactly. So, you know, I hope they all lose every game this year and, and we find out.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, same here.
We love you, Louisville.
No, we don't.
No, not at all.
Not one bit.
We hope you and Cincinnati tie for the worst record in the league.
Keep your wives away from Cincinnati's coaches.
Oh, shit. Okay, well.
John, no, we're going straight for the Harks.
John Harks.
We're going straight for it every single
great
time.
Great teammate. Not so fast.
I think we have a TIFO.
Yeah, well.
We got lots of great ideas for TIFOs this year.
Yep.
And we got a good TIFO crew now. After
yes. I've retired from the TIFO crew. And they
you did great by yourself, but now we have people to do the work.
They've figured out how to do it bigger and better.
Yeah.
And no one's more happy about that than I am.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. We just got to make sure that there's bowls put up this year.
Did you go to the U.S. game?
I did, yes.
The TIFO, they had the flag up first, and then this other TIFO came up.
It was awesome.
Dave Corbett, our drummer, put together this crew. They found this warehouse downtown that they had access to, and they could just lay it out, and they just went to work.
Went to town, yeah.
It was fantastic. They did like 6 or 7 sessions down there, and I went to one of them just to kind of nosy about, and when I seen it, I was just like, holy cow, mm-hmm. Look at that thing.
Where do you get? How do you guys do your TIFO?
Brad, how did you do them?
It's a one-man mission.
Well, the early ones were.
He was a bit of a control freak about
No.
Let's be
it
honest.
It had a lot to do with I lived down south,
mm-hmm.
And so I would pin it up in my basement and draw half of it, and then you know do it over a 3 or 4 day period, and it was just not a good time to get everybody to my house to paint on it. And
No. This is, I'm going to interrupt here, because okay. I said several times, bring it up to Soccer Park. We'll have a day.
We did the last one.
Put it in the
parking
lot.
We did the last one. Yeah, yes. We did that for the second one, and it worked fantastic.
As long as the weather's okay and everything.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah.
The first one, we were under the gun to get it finished.
And you're a control freak.
And I'm a control freak. But now that Dave's done such a good job, Dave's going to take that over. And let's mention also, we're going to have another AGM, annual general meeting.
Kyle.
And it'll be before the season starts, but it'll be a meeting at ITAP where you can come, meet other Louligans, and if you're interested in doing things like TIFO or doing things like merchandise or whatever.
Chance,
we can all get together and talk about that. So watch us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram for that.
And last year, Jeremy showed up. I'm sure he and Dale will come by again. Players are welcome as well.
Cool.
If you show up, won't be allowed to have an empty hand, so fair warning.
Awesome.
There will be plenty of beers moving around ICAP. But
more information on that when we get it
scheduled.
Now that we have an actual schedule, we can start planning these things.
Mm-hmm. And that's also when we'll start figuring out things like our bus trips. The team has already said they're going to do several trips again like they did last year. I think maybe 3 was the last I'd heard. I don't know if that's official or not, but...
But we will have more.
And then we're going to do our own as well. And we're going to set up a system this year, too, where you'll buy a ticket through our website to get onto the bus. And I will deny people if they're offensive. So
I'll drive then.
If you get an immediate refund, don't try again.
Yeah. It wasn't your card. It was you. It was you.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
No, I'm not.
I know you're not. All right. Do we have anything else to talk about tonight? We've rambled on.
We covered, there's a little thing called the schedule.
Talked about that.
Covered the non-announcement.
Covered that.
AGM. Oh, we did forget one thing to mention. Scarves.
That's what I was going to say.
Scarves.
You have 1 week left to pre-order your scarf.
I think everyone should get a scarf.
Regardless. When captain is telling you need a scarf. That's what it is.
Look, when it's July and
everyone
August
needs
in
a scarf,
St. Louis,
and everyone needs to be waving that scarf around.
You need a scarf.
And the thing is
for Saturday, June the 18th, when we're in Arizona,
104 degrees in the sun.
The deal with the scarves is we're pre-selling them for $15. The last date to order those is February 2nd. Check on our Facebook and our website and Twitter.
Instagram
for all that information. After that, they go up to $20. So save $5 and buy yourself a beer. That's the way I'd look at it.
Buy two and save yourself $10.
Half a ticket.
And then we're also going to have the first delivery of those at this annual general meeting we're talking about, and you'll also be able to pick them up at any St. Louis Ligon event, which includes St. Louis FC home games.
If you're in town, we will not ship them. So don't ask.
We want you to come out. We don't
want ideas to come out. If you're, you know, Texas or Seattle, yeah,
or
we'll
Louisville.
Ship it.
I hate mailing Springfield. I hate mailing a scarf to, you know, like U City. You can actually come to a game. I'm going to make you come to the game to pick up the scarf.
Yep.
So.
Yep, absolutely. And we're going to do new window stickers again this year. That was something that came up the other day. Somebody asked. We are going to do that.
Yes. We've got some of the green T-shirts left. And when those are all gone, we're going to do a new T-shirt too. So
lots of merch to buy this year. So you want to get in early while you still get it. Because if last year's sales were any indication, they're going to go pretty quick.
Yes.
I mean, we're out of the old scarves.
Yes.
We're, you know, almost out of the old shirts. Get with the new. Make it happen, Cap'n.
That's right. And we will be selling those until, you know, the copyright holder on the image I stole presses charges. So
again?
Yeah. I'll never forgive the Wichita Donut House that made me change our first logo. That goes back to the AC St. Louis days. Yeah. So we've scrapped everything from back then now.
I got a bucket of crap back there.
Yeah.
I can put that in the storage.
You still got a pair of Athletica socks. That was the season ticket holder's gift that year.
Socks.
We got a bunch of stuff left over here from the women's team that folded. Want some of this?
Some dirty socks.
What? No, they were new. They were new.
Oh, okay, good.
And we also got a whole bunch of the little headbands that the girls wear, the Puma ones.
That's
that
cute.
Like,
yeah.
It looks great with my hairstyle. Yeah. You know, that was the first part.
Yeah. That was a... No, we promise we're coming back. Welcome to anything in the drawer. I got a tape dispenser.
I got a computer.
I tried to get one of those jerseys off the wall at soccer park, but they're bolted on there. just kidding. All right.
No, you're not.
Do we have any real news to talk about?
I think we've covered everything. I mean, because it's now's the anticipation time. It's just they've got a couple weeks till training camp starts.
The players are getting ready. The fans are getting ready. It's just going to be another great season. I mean,
the drummers will be doing a auction for those signed heads.
Yeah, we're going to auction off the old drum heads. They've ordered new ones, and they've got new vinyl decals, and I can't wait to see them.
I know. Our drum corps is top-notch. They always do such a...
I'll put our drum corps up against anyone in the league.
Without a doubt.
Within the top three divisions in this country, I'll put them up against anyone.
I mean the equipment being customized, the rhythms, the
they
range.
They lay down a funky beat.
They do lay down a funky beat.
We heard you in Kansas City.
That's so great. That's
the
so
entire time.
He needs to hear the Dave Corbett story.
So we walk in.
It wasn't a proper supporter section. They just gave us a wedge in the middle.
Yeah, you were in the corner. Yeah, I noticed that.
Well, we were told it was going to be just us, and it turns out it wasn't just us.
They sold some to regular too. Kansas City fans.
Yeah.
And there's a family of Kansas City fans in front of our area. And you can tell they are not pleased at all.
Dave is banging his thing.
Our drummers go to the front of their row, which was the back of the next section, and he is just wailing on the drum.
Doing what they do. I mean, he's not
and
like going
beyond.
This
is like 20 minutes before kickoff. And what did he tell the guy?
The old guy turns around and gives Dave the stink eye, and Dave just looks at him and goes, all game.
We're
going to
be
do
here
this all
game.
Yes. That's awesome.
They got up and left.
And they're not coming back.
No.
Yeah.
So.
Nope. They moved out. And
all day. We're going to be here all day.
Good. So.
Yeah, we tried to make that a scarf this year.
Yeah. That's an unofficial motto for the season. All day. We're going to be here all day.
So much love to our drum corps, our capos. They do a great job. They're going to be joining the Mardi Gras parade. So if you're at Mardi Gras and you're time traveling, make sure you give love to our group that'll be marching. I prefer the players don't march to avoid any injury from beads or
drunken luligans.
Yes.
Barklage, I know that guy. Come tackle him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He just suddenly shied up a little bit. I just watched Brandon shiver over there.
Hey, Jeremy.
I just visualize that. Yeah.
Jeremy,
I think I'm going to skip out on that
contract,
too.
Is it? I don't have to show up.
This is not a paid appearance.
He lives
appearance.
In Lake St. Louis. He doesn't go in the city.
Come on now. I, ma- I make it out every once in a while.
Yeah, for Cardinal games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blues games.
No, you're in that phase of life where your entire social life is looking at that little girl and having fun with her.
That's very true.
And a couple of years from now, you'll be like, I need to see people. I want some adult conversation.
Put me downtown, yeah.
You and your wife would be like, look, she's a kid that lives down the street. How bad could it be? Stay with my child. We're going out.
That's what grandparents are for.
Yeah.
That's right.
The best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't have anything new.
We're good.
Thank Bird? You guys for having
I'm
me.
I'm all right. Oh,
thank
it's been
you
a
for
pleasure.
Coming. Yeah. Every time we have a player on, it's always been a great time. And
the access. Here's the thing with the MLS, right? Did you ever do anything like this in some guy's basement? When you
I was kind of taken back when I walked down. I didn't. I thought we would go to the park. You know, that would be where we were talking. No, we're in a basement of one of the Luligans. I think that's so cool. It took me a little bit to get used to it, but I'm.
I know it has a rapey vibe to it.
but
this is cool.
The access we get from Jeremy and Dale and the players is unsurpassed. I mean, I show up at training, take photographs. We get. Access to the closed friendlies against the Indy 11 last year.
When we're doing a charity thing, the club always helps us with promotion, and
that's awesome.
We get so much from this club that I don't think we would get if we make the next step, and that really concerns me. People think I'm anti MLS. I'm really not. I'm just really afraid we're gonna lose what we've got right now.
It's special. This is a special time. Yeah.
Yeah, take advantage. Yeah,
Frank Yallop is not coming and sitting on Mitch's couch. Well, he might now because he's Arizona United coach. Yeah.
But even then, he might not because he might think he's big time.
He might because they don't know where they're playing yet.
Yeah, he might think this is where they're playing. He's scouting locations. The common ground behind my house, that might be an option.
I didn't look. On the schedule, does it list a place where they're playing?
No.
Just Arizona. We don't know yet.
At Arizona United SC.
There
That's
we go.
That's all it says.
So. All right.
Thanks for coming, Brandon. It's fantastic.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yep, looking forward to a great year.
Same. We are fit. We're ready to roll. The boys are ready. Let's do it.
You heard it. From the mount.
Smooth.
That's a great transition.
Let's just end it with
fuck
that.
All y'all. Bye.